now in the case of United States against Dennis. Mr. Madden.
Morning, Your Honors.
You might want to adjust the lectern upward.
See if I can figure that out.
You can do it. It's very simple. Oh, wrong way.
There we go.
The other option available to you is to kneel down while you're arguing.
This is fine, Your Honor. May it please the court, I'm Matthew Madden of the Federal Defender. I represent William Dennis in this case. Mr. Dennis was charged in this case with engaging in a conspiracy to transport firearms in March of 2005. Prior to trial, the government moved to admit evidence of a November 2004 trip to Tennessee where co-defendant David Cruz brought firearms back and gave them to an undercover DEA agent. The government argued that the November evidence was admissible because it was intricately related to the charged crime and alternatively that it was admissible under Rule 404B. The district court originally rejected both theories of the government. It later reversed itself and admitted the evidence under Rule 404B. The court's original ruling was correct, and it was an abuse of discretion for the court to reverse course and to allow the introduction of the evidence. Now, as this court well knows, in order to be admissible under Rule 404B, the evidence must satisfy every prong of a four-part test that this circuit has adopted.
I recall that His Honor said that if there was a question of intent involved, that he might reconsider his position.
That's correct, Judge.
Well, so it wasn't an unequivocal denial. It was simply saying that if it becomes relevant, then we'll let it in.
Well, it was left to some degree open.
And the issue then presented by the defense was he didn't intend to do anything. He intended to rob somebody, not to transport.
Correct.
So the question of intent was available then, and then it becomes important.
Well, Your Honor, as to the question of intent, I don't believe that the evidence of
He say he didn't intend to transport it? He just was a solid gag. He was going to take the money and run?
He did. That was his defense.
Well, that's a question of intent then. He said, I didn't have the intent to commit the crime.
Well, Judge, I don't think the evidence of the November trip does anything, frankly, to show what his intent was in March.
Wait, no. He said it would go to show he knew what he was doing the first time, and he knew that he was transporting, and it would go to destroy his decision that I had no intention of carrying it this time, the second time.
Well, Your Honor, he didn't know. On the November trip, he didn't participate in the transporting of guns to Cruz.
What's your beef about if you said he didn't? He didn't. What he said he did. There's not what went in his statement that he knew, and he helped transport him.
The statement is not that he helped transport him.
What?
The statement is actually that he... Let's see. The statement is that he knew, at the time he gave the statement, certainly, he knew that Cruz's purpose was to transport guns from Tennessee.
Right. And he had done it.
Well, and Cruz did it.
You don't know what... the statement that you're objecting to is one in which he said that in the first time he knew he was going to transport him and went with him. And it...
I'm objecting to any mention of the November trip in that statement, exactly.
Yeah. But that goes to the question of his intent on the second one. If he did he intend to do it, or do you believe that he really wasn't going to do it?
Well, Your Honor, I
think he made a mistake, the judge. He should have let it in the first instance, but that's the difference. I think his first ruling was wrong.
I think the biggest problem, actually, with the November evidence is that it doesn't pass 403 analysis. I think that the unfair prejudice certainly outweighs...
That's a fairly subjective position. Judges do that. And he made that decision in a call. Why do you think it's wrong?
Well, I, frankly, Judge, the only 403 analysis the judge did, I tend to agree with. And the district court in its only analysis...
That's in its beginning when he started. That was before there was a question of intent involved. Because he had already given you that.
Well, Your Honor, I do think that there was a real risk presented by the 404B.
There's a real risk for the guy taking the position he did that he was going to rob him instead of carrying that.
There's always a risk at trial, Your Honor. I would agree
Amen.
With that.
Amen. Amen.
But I do think that the risk here by the November evidence is twofold. One, that they find guilt by association with Cruz, or two, that they come to the impermissible conclusion that he had trafficked in guns before and therefore had a propensity to traffic him in March.
So your position is that government had to show that he actually took part in the trafficking, and there's a distinction between that and him riding in the car, knowing that the purpose was to get the guns and them turning around and coming back with them.
Well, Judge, I'm not saying that they have to show criminal culpability. I don't think that is the standard. But the problem here is that the evidence came in. Basically, the case agent testified that on direct, Mr. Dennis said he'd been on the trip to Tennessee with Cruz, and that guns came back. Well, that certainly looks inculpatory.
Yes.
As far as Mr. Dennis, and that certainly sounds like Cruz and Mr. Dennis were a team on that November trip. True. But the fact is, the evidence about the November trip doesn't show that. On cross-examination, I had to do what I could to demonstrate that this was Cruz's deal. This was not a Cruz and Dennis deal. But, Your Honors, at that point...
Who were you cross-examining to bring out that brilliant fact?
Well, it was the DEA agent.
Who knew only what he had from the statement.
What the DEA agent knew is that he knew that Dennis had nothing to do with procuring the guns in Tennessee. He had nothing to do with selling the guns in Illinois.
What did he know?
What he knew was that Dennis... What he knew was that Dennis got out of the car when they observed them get back from Tennessee.
Well, all this is because... What do you know that Dennis told him? What did Dennis...
Well, Dennis told him that the purpose of that trip was that Cruz's purpose of that trip was to bring guns back.
Well, no, what did he say his purpose was?
He didn't really specify what his purpose was.
We went down there to bring the guns back. But Cruz was the guy that set it up. Is that what he said?
I don't think that is what his statement... Well, Judge, first of all, we don't know exactly what he said because it's a non-verbatim account of the statement, but I don't think that's what...
Non-verbatim?
It wasn't... in other words, the statement comes in a DEA report. It's not a verbatim account of what Mr. Dennis said. Now, certainly, there's no doubt, Mr. Dennis knew on the way down to Tennessee what Cruz was up to. Okay? And he knew that because of the conversation. But he didn't in any way participate in what Cruz was doing. And I think by the time I've got to bring those facts out on cross-examination, I think the damage is done, Your Honor.
I understand you had a tough problem.
Well, and at that point, by the time I'm trying to bring it out on cross, I think it's too late. And I think the way it was presented to the jury was misleading, and it was highly prejudicial towards Mr. Dennis.
And then you've got the problem, even if we find it was error for it to come in, we've got Dennis's video recorded statements and his post-arrest admissions, which are pretty...
Well, Your Honor, it is...
substantial.
The videotape is actually the video of what happened in the car. It's not a videotape statement. The post-arrest statement, clearly, Judge, those are not positive facts for us.
Save a nickel for a rebuttal. You're into it now.
I will. Thank you, Judge.
By the way, just in your experience, does it ever work to argue to a jury, as Dennis did here, no, I was really trying to commit a different crime. Instead of committing the crime of selling the guns, I was trying to commit the crime of robbing the agents. It doesn't sound like it's a very sympathetic plea to a jury.
It certainly is not a sympathetic plea. I would absolutely
never work.
Agree with that. Your Honor, this is the only case I've had where that was the defense.
Yeah, that's the one where you ask the court to direct a verdict. Mm-hmm.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Mr. Hammer.
I'll leave it. If it may please the court.
Do not touch the microphone.
I'm sorry, Your Honor. If it may please the court, Joel Hammerman on behalf of the United States. I must agree with Your Honors. The path that Judge Darrah took here, or the reasoning that he eventually adopted in allowing this particular evidence of Mr. Dennis's participation in the November 2004 gun trafficking trip to Tennessee, doesn't matter because in the end, it was correctly admitted. It was correctly admitted under both Rule 404B, and it was correctly admitted because that particular evidence, that part of this story, is inextricably intertwined with the charged conspiracy in March of 2005. Under Rule 404B, this evidence was properly admitted because it showed four things, four issues that were relevant to this case. It showed Mr. Dennis's knowledge, it showed his motive for going down to Tennessee, it showed his intent, and it showed the opportunity that he and Mr. Cruz had to, in fact, obtain firearms to then bring back to the ATF special agent. With respect to intent, Mr. Dennis basically associated himself with Mr. Cruz and Mr. Cruz's relationship with the ATF undercover special agent. And by doing that, he let, you know, Mr. It shows, in a sense, he was going to participate in and that he was going to become a part of what was already an ongoing business relationship. I'm sorry?
This is not part of the case, but given the size of the black market in guns in northern Illinois, why does a dealer in guns have to travel to Tennessee to get weapons?
In this case...
Better price, huh?
In this case, it always comes down to contacts. And Mr. Cruz had boasted, and there is some evidence of this in the record, but limited because we were focusing on the March 2005 transaction. But Mr. Cruz said, I've got contacts down in Tennessee, and that's where I can acquire my weapons. And he, in fact, proved that. He proved that in November of 2004 when he went down to Tennessee, and he came back with weapons that had been paid for by the undercover ATF agent. And that, you know, goes back to the point I made before, that the November 2004 shows that he
probably bought the weapons in Chicago, took them down to Tennessee, sold them to anyone. Get the picture. It seems really weird.
Mr. Cruz clearly had contacts in Tennessee which he could get weapons for, and he could get them quickly. So he told the ATF special agent November 2004, he proved it. And that trip shows that he and Mr. Dennis had the opportunity and the means by which to complete their conspiracy that they weren't allowed to complete in March of 2005 by going down to Tennessee. Mr. Dennis has made a strong argument in his briefs that the November 2004 trip wasn't similar enough to the March 2005 charge conspiracy because, according to Mr. Dennis, there isn't evidence that he had the requisite intent or the requisite knowledge of what the November 2004 trip was about. Respectfully, we disagree. I think Judge Dara changed his opinion in part because he was made aware of the fact that Mr. Dennis said in his post-arrest statement that in November 2004, he knew the purpose of the November 2004 trip, and that he had actually gone along because he was one of the people with a driver's license. Now, at trial, he tried to kind of change that story a little bit by saying that he only learned on the way down what the purpose of the trip to Tennessee was in November of 2004. But in his post-arrest statement, he stated that he knew at the time the reason that they had gone down to Tennessee in November of 2004. But the fact of the matter is, the government, to have this evidence of the November 2004 trip admitted, didn't have to prove that Mr. Dennis was criminally culpable in November of 2004. We didn't have to prove beyond a reasonable doubt that he had committed a crime in November of 2004. What we had to show was that there was an action or a set of acts that was similar and that it was similar enough to be relevant to this case. The trip in 2004 was virtually identical to the planned trip in 2005. It was to go from Illinois to Tennessee to get weapons and bring them back to an individual that was purporting to be a drug dealer. Clearly, that's similar enough. The other requirements of 404B, that the defendant actually committed the act, there's no question that he went along on the trip in 2004, that he knew what it was about, and that, of course, Mr. Madden has stated that his main concern is the 403 question, and that the evidence of the November trip wasn't overly prejudicial or wasn't unfairly prejudicial in respect to its probative value. The fact that this November 2004 trip...
Counsel, what are we to make of what the district court actually said? The district court seems to have believed that any evidence admissible as an admission under Rule 801 is exempt from the balancing required by Rule 403. And you don't defend that. I mean, don't we have a problem here that the district court has just failed to carry out his duty to engage in Rule 403, to provide a Rule 403 analysis?
No, Your Honor, because even though the district court made statements suggesting that if it was admissible under 801 that he was going to let the statement in, he actually did do the 403 analysis. And originally, he stated that under 403, he was concerned that the prejudicial effect might outweigh the probative effect, the probative value. We respectfully submit that was incorrect. But later, the analysis changed because the case, as it was presented to Judge Dara, had changed. No one knew, and Judge Dara did not know, at the time that he was analyzing this question, that the defendant was going to make the sole argument that he didn't have the requisite intent, that the only reason he couldn't be found guilty of this crime...
That may be completely right, but we need the district court's analysis, not the prosecutor's analysis. Did the district court ever say, now that I know that we're going to get this defense, that I'm committing another crime, my assessment of the Rule 403 criteria has changed?
I think he did, Your Honor. What he said was, intent's now been put in play. If intent is in play and the defendant intends to put on a defense that says that he is not guilty of the crime that's alleged against him because he intended to commit a different crime, then the analysis under 403 has changed. A 403 analysis, whether it's in the context of the intricately intertwined...
I know what argument you're making. Where did the district court analyze this issue?
I believe he did so, Your Honor, and in my brief, I cite to the transcript at pages 66, 70, 72, and 91.
And what page of your brief are you on?
I'm on page 12, Your Honor. And I apologize for not having the kind of ready page cite from the transcript in my head. But what Judge Dara suggested was that the analysis that was being presented to him had to change because the facts that were being presented to him changed.
That is a reference back to his, pardon me. His reference back to his original analysis now has changed?
I'm sorry, Your Honor?
Did he refer back to his original analysis and say now it's changed? Hey, originally he talked about it.
He said there was a risk of spillover, right. I think was the term of art that he used. Basically,
not a term of art, but
the term that he used.
Loose language. But anyway, what pages of the transcript are you citing? Obvious I have to go look at them.
We're looking for the words.
Page 70 and 71, Your Honor. What Judge Dara then said was, since that time, it appears that intent has been put at issue, although we'll wait to see what the proofs show, and it also appears based on that statement, when considered with the other evidence, the fact that he was there might be enough to establish that there was a conspiracy
at that
time.
Excuse me for a second. Where do the words probative value outweigh prejudice?
I don't think he ever...
Those are the words we're looking for,
okay.
Where he says, you know, now that I've determined intent is an issue... Under 403, boom.
I don't think he did that.
Probative value versus prejudice.
Judge Dara did not do that. He did not say, I'm now going to go back and assess this under the terms that are often used to look at 404B with respect to the fourth prong, the 403 analysis. Now that intent's an issue, the probative value is heightened in comparison to its potential prejudicial effect. He never did that.
But by the fact, ask the district judge to conduct a proper Rule 403 analysis?
No, I did not, Your Honor.
When a district judge says, commits a howler on the record, as the district judge did here, and saying, well, it's Rule 801, everything else is irrelevant, one useful function of counsel for both sides is to say, Your Honor, you still have to conduct a Rule 403 analysis.
Your Honor, when Judge Dara made his initial ruling, it was prior to even opening statements in this case. And
you mean, you know, when you're ahead, you don't want to get in an argument with the judge.
To some extent, I think that Judge Dara had said, I'm going to allow it in a limited function, and he said, I'm going to let this statement in its entirety. But then the opening statements were made, and this whole issue was addressed once again. And he seemed to say, once again, I'm not going to allow a mini trial on the November 2004 trip, but I am going to allow you to elicit evidence that Mr. Dennis had gone on that trip based on the statement that he made following his arrest.
And in the first time he ruled, he didn't address 403 either, did he?
The first, prior to opening statements?
When he denied it.
He did, actually, Your Honor. He said that he thought it was prejudicial.
Okay.
And the reason he gave is the term he used is he thought there was a spillover effect, that there had been something very inculpatory that Cruz had done and that evidence against Cruz could spill over to Mr. Dennis. And he wasn't sure if Mr. Dennis had partaken in that.
Okay.
He later stated when...
Thank you, Mr. Hammerman.
Thank you very much, Your Honor.
Anything further, Mr. Madden?
Yes, Judge.
Your Honors, as to the 403, Judge Darrow never did go back and address that directly again.
Didn't you ask him to?
Well, Your Honor, he when he made his original 403...
The decision was, after all, adverse to your client. It was favorable to the prosecution, but for the wrong reason, but adverse to your client.
True, Judge. It did happen quickly. Judge Darrow actually referred to the 403, the risk of unfair prejudice as obvious, and referred to the probative value as really limited in his initial one. Right afterwards, said, and despite that, it's in under 801, which I think was clearly wrong. Now, the government has...
So, but you didn't make any record on that. You didn't try to come back to him on the 403 analysis.
I didn't raise the issue again. We had just spoken about it, and he had just made a ruling as to 403, and then said 801 gets it in.
The alternative of just providing him with a little memo the next day, or
we did not do that. We did not do that. This case is all about what his intent was, clearly in March. It's not about knowledge. Knowledge wasn't an issue in this. It still isn't, and what never was. Mr. Dennis knew who Cruz was and what Cruz.
By the way, are the penalties for this offense different from the penalties for robbing a federal official?
Wasn't charged.
Your Honor, I really don't know the answer to that. I never looked into it.
If the way to get out of crime A is effectively to plead guilty to crime B with the same penalty structure, what's the point?
Well, the point, I suppose, Your Honor, is that what my client said was the truth, was what his intent was to take the money and run. And he wasn't charged that way, so.
Question, would that be a federal rap or would it be a state rap? And if it's a federal rep,
because it was a federal agent.
Yeah, but he didn't know it.
Under FIOLA, that's irrelevant.
Yeah, I know, but from his point of view, if he didn't know it, he didn't know that either. You know, it's like ignorance of the law not being an excuse, and I didn't know that either, so go ahead.
Well, Your Honor, we dealt with the charges as they were charged.
Attaboy.
Thank you, counsel.
Thank you, Judge.
Case is taken under advisement.